You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello everyone, it's Shahrzad, and joining me today from across Los Angeles is Susan.
Hello, I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm good. I don't have any makeup on, and I was thinking our viewers can't see us, but our guests can.
Yes, but I think everybody is very forgiving. I have not put mascara. I think I put mascara on 3 times in the last 2 months, and it's been really nice. I feel like my skin hasn't been this good in a really long time. It's because I wear like no makeup anymore.
I like it. You look so gorgeous.
Thank you. I feel good. I'm so excited about the guest that's going to join us, Colette. She has been one of my favorite moms since I met her and saw her on the internet. Her and her family are considered the first family of YouTube. They are like basically the creators of the daily vlogs. She is so humble and genuine and wonderful and beautiful. She's a mom of 5. It feels like my world's colliding. Susan, Colette, you know, meeting each other, two very important people in different parts of my life. So I'm very, very excited that you guys are connecting, and I'm excited to chat with both of you.
Me too. Thank you.
And I just ran up the stairs and I can't fucking breathe. I swear I've been jogging so much lately, yet the stairs just do me dirty. Ooh, let me get my water.
I know how it is, especially because I've been eating like 8 pounds of sugar every day during quarantine, so that doesn't help.
I know. Oh, what is that?
Yeah, I made zucchini bread last night, and so I just grabbed like a brick of it and ran over here with my coffee.
Oh my God, so funny. Yeah. So my neighbors, we just picked the most like fabulous place to live. My neighbors give me vegetables all the time. So they just brought over a huge bag of zucchini from their garden. And I was thinking about making zucchini bread, and you made it yesterday, which means I definitely should try and make it. I don't think I've ever made zucchini bread, but it was something my mom made a lot.
I'm going to send you a recipe. It's so easy and it's really good.
Like, you put some chocolate chips in there and you can call it a quarantine breakfast, you know?
Exactly. Colette, you have 5 beautiful kids. I love you. You're a superhuman strength person. How are you? How's life? How's quarantine been for you?
Thank you. It has been really hard, honestly. So I've got 5. My oldest is 16. My youngest is 6. And honestly, the youngest two have been the hardest. Well, obviously, the older ones, they have their teachers, they have their schedule, they have their Zoom calls, and it's kind of like streamlined, and they're responsible for the most part. But my youngest two, especially my kindergartner, I hate to say it, he's the hardest one.
Really?
It's been so challenging for me, and I think mostly because I'm mom. I'm not his teacher. And he doesn't listen to mom the same as he listens to his teacher, and he's such a social butterfly that I think not having all his peers around him doing the same work as him is like, why are we doing this, mom? So it has been challenging, and not necessarily the work, but getting him to do the work. And he's super smart, and I've realized this over the quarantine. I'm like, oh, you're improving so quickly, and you are like reading, and you're smart, but it's getting him to do it that is the hardest.
Mm. When you figure that out, girl, you let me know, because I watch Dries on Zoom. He is picking his nose. He's asking if he can go to the bathroom. He's asking for a snack. And he's anything that he can, he's wiggling. His feet are on the table. He cannot sit still. And I feel freaking bad for the kid, because At six, I probably couldn't sit still and look at a screen for 40 minutes. We've been pieces of shit when it comes to doing homeschool. We've just been, you know, my only fear is like, are they going to hold kids back? Or are they just going to pass everybody? Because I obviously, he's super smart. I don't want him to repeat kindergarten. And I feel like he's got the fundamental basics of like reading slow, but he can do it. But it's on us to like encourage him and motivate him. And it's so hard for me to encourage him to sit quietly and watch a Zoom when I know that I wouldn't be able to do it as a six-year-old. I don't want to do it as a 36-year-old. You know, like sit and listen to some, you know what I mean? Like he's also not getting attention. Anyway.
I mean, listen, ladies, I can't even potty train my 3-year-old. So
it's
that is the worst. I'm just telling you, I do not want to go back to potty training ever.
Wait, Colette might have some tips for you. Susan's out to get some real tips and you have 5 potty trained kids. So is there something specific that worked for you? Cause
I feel like everybody tells me, oh, we every 15 minutes, it only took 3 days. Like I hear the same.
Because that's what I said. And it worked for me, but obviously.
But Sherzod, you're not the only person that said this to me. Like it was everybody that said this to me. And so then I was like, that obviously was encouraging to me. I was like, okay, well then 3 days, we're going to go intense with this boot camp style. And then we came out of it as failures. So,
You know what? You're not failures. It takes a village and it takes a lot of time. And just coming from, you know, I have 5 kids. There's not one way to do it. Like all of my kids were so different. Like I had Avia who was like, she went in her pants once and was like, oh, hell no, I'm not doing that again. That was disgusting. And she was potty trained so quick. But then, you know, I've had a couple others that were like, I could or I couldn't. I don't really care. You know, like, just wipe me, please. So it takes time. And honestly, if, you know, like mine was, let's see, I don't know which one it was, but I remember thinking, like, you're 4. It's time to, like, not be doing this anymore. But they do it when they're ready. And you just kind of have to learn for your own kid what helps, I guess. I don't know. That's a hard one.
Yeah.
Also different.
Colette, so I know I saw you post, I think on Instagram a little bit ago, that Avia didn't get to do like one of her last cheer competitions. And they haven't been able, your older kids haven't been able to do a lot of the big sporting events and school events that they've been looking forward to and working hard for. How are you managing their emotions? I feel like that would be really challenging to do. I think raising teenagers is really, really hard. I haven't done it, but I was a piece of shit when I was a teenager. So I'm just wondering how you're navigating all the like disappointment that comes from quarantine.
Well, you know, I am really grateful that I have been working on my own emotions for a long time now. So I feel like I was a little bit prepared to just kind of roll with it and not expect anything, but to just be here for them. And that was hard. And honestly, I may have taken it harder than them. I think Avia was really disappointed because she was looking forward to it. But this was her freshman year. So she still has time. We were really bummed for the seniors, of course, who didn't get to do their final stuff. And Gavin he is in a like show choir, you know, in his school. And he was going to perform they did an American Idol type thing at school, and he was all ready for that, and he was singing so well, and he didn't get to do that. And Emmy had a bunch of dance competitions that were canceled, of course. So it was really hard, but it was also, they knew that they had friends that were going through the same thing. You know, they could connect with their friends, and they could all be sad together, and they could all kind of feel that together. Granted, not together. Together, but not together. But for me, I think it was just being here to listen, and also kind of understanding when they do act out, you know, if they're angry, they say things they don't mean, just being able to kind of let those things roll off of me instead of taking them personally has really helped, because it's hard for them and it's hard for me. But when we start taking each other personally, it just gets worse.
So Sherzod, how's it going since homeschool is now over? You're officially into summer.
Oh, when I say I am letting out a massive sigh of relief, I am just so excited. A huge weight has been lifted off my shoulder. My Idris passed kindergarten. He's moving on to first grade. It's amazing. But now I'm left with trying to fill his days with activities and trying to keep him away from just watching TV and movies all day, which is where KiwiCo comes in. You guys, he is currently playing with his disc launcher as we speak.
If you guys don't know what KiwiCo is, I am obsessed with it. They have different crates for children of different ages. They're all geared towards their specific age group. And each crate contains a project that can really stimulate their minds. It's not just play, it's play where they get to learn. And I absolutely love that. They even have crates for little babies. So I've been getting them for Isla. I actually think that, you know, it's so nice to get one of these crates every single month that I put it into one of my videos to tell everybody how much I love KiwiCo.
Your child can get super cool hands-on science and art projects delivered to their door every month. I know my kids get so excited when they see a piece of mail with their name on it. And when they get to open up the box and it's a fun treat that's both educational and mentally stimulating, it's a win-win for everybody. Seriously, my six-year-old does this disc launcher completely by himself. He can read the directions, he can do everything, and it really makes me proud of him to sit back and watch. It also gives me a little bit of a break. Now, my youngest does need help with the box, but it is something really fun to do as a family.
Yeah, I was so surprised when I first started getting KiwiCo crates, how high quality the materials are, and they're real engineering, science, and art projects for children. It's a really great learning experience. It's fun, it's learning, and I really think that it's a great way to keep your kids stimulated.
KiwiCo is redefining play with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. There's something for every kid or kid at heart at KiwiCo.
Get your first month free on select crates at kiwico.com/fam. That's KiwiCo.com/fam.
I've always been so impressed with you, Colette. I wanted to share one little story of one of the first times that we really got to like hang out. I had been shooting The Mom's View for, I think, like maybe 3 weeks, and we all got to go to Chicago together. And it was like in July of,
that was so fun,
2011 or 13 or 14, something like that. I can't remember. And you were one of the most famous people on the internet. And I remember you, I didn't know what internet fame looked like. Like, I'd never seen anybody who was like really famous on the internet. I was so new to like this world of like being an online personality. And we were doing a meetup in Chicago, and I had never even really heard of what a meetup was. Keep in mind, this is a long time ago, you know, this is like just a different world. Everybody knows what meetups are now, I think. And you like tweeted out where we were going to be so that we could all do like a TMV meetup kind of thing. And I remember so many fans came to meet you. And I remember one girl like hyperventilating, crying because she was like meeting you and people were baking you goods and they brought you all this stuff. And I just stood back. Nobody knew who I was. And at that time, people didn't really like me that much. So I just kind of like stood back and I watched people's eyes and like I watched people go fucking crazy for you. And you have remained so humble and kind and down to earth and genuine when I know so many other people in your shoes would have been flashy or cocky or look at my new car and my fucking bag and this shit. And I've just been so impressed with you. I mean, that was the first time that I ever saw internet fame. Truly. I was like, fuck, this girl is fucking famous. You tweeted out and like 3 hours later, there's like 100 people here like that have just driven from every corner of the world to see you. And never once since I've known you, have you ever shown off? Have you ever been a bitch? Have you ever been a snob? And how do you do this shit, girl? I'm so impressed by you. I'd not be that way. I can say you're just a good person. You're a really good person.
Where's the Lamborghini?
Oh, I've got two parked up.
How have you remained so level-headed and humble? Like how do you do that?
Oh, you are so nice. And I don't know why, but like that made me really emotional just talking about a meetup because I miss people. Like honestly miss that. And like, I'm so emotional right now. Why?
I am too. And that's why I've got water because I love you and I need water. And then I just, you know, I just breathe in through my nose.
Right. I know. I'm like, where's my tissues? I didn't think I would need them, but.
Sorry.
Thank you. That was like the sweetest compliment ever. I honestly miss that. I think for me, I have felt like you know, we didn't really seek for that. Like when we started the Shaytards, it was like, we're just vlogging our lives. We're trying to like, kind of like a video diary. And then it was like, people started watching. So it was like, oh, we kind of have this influence. This is cool. And it became this thing where I realized that people looked up to me. I realized that they were watching me. And I guess I just didn't want to mess that up. I wanted to be the best that I could. And granted, I'm not perfect, of course. And I've learned over time how trying to be perfect can be so detrimental. But I remember just feeling so much love for these people because they would, it wasn't like, I mean, I don't know how to say it, like a regular celebrity. Like they don't have that connection with their viewers, but we would read comments every time. You read the comments, oh, my family is broken and this, and I was abused. And like you hear people's stories so much that it's different. Like when you meet them, it's like, I love you. I don't know exactly you or your story, but you are part of this group that is human. And we are all like, I just got to see people's humanity. And it just made me love everybody that watched our videos. And I guess that's what it was, is I just love people. I don't know that I'm that humble.
You are so humble, Colette. I feel like a lot of people who've had internet fame like down the road are just such show-offs, and you've just maintained this calm presence. And I know you've been on a really awesome journey lately too, of like self-discovery and confidence. And I see what you're posting on Instagram and I'm like, fuck yeah. Like, I love that. Like, yes, be vulnerable, because you have such an influence and you have so many people that have watched you for over a decade that look up to you and admire you. And I feel like you're really stepping into this powerful voice that you have. And I am somebody who's, I think, always been on a path of self-improvement, especially in the last 2 years. And I really admire you for being vulnerable. So I'd love to know like how, like, what are you reading? What are you doing? How are you getting inspired? What's going on in your world to create confidence? Like, how are you doing that? Did that even make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm over here like looking for Colette Butler on Instagram. I'm like, I want to be inspired.
You're so real. You've never tried to be somebody that you're, I mean, from my perspective, you've always maintained this humble, just graciousness. And I've learned so much from you over the years, Colette, even though I don't get to see you nearly as much as I want to.
You know how hard it is to find you on Instagram, because there are 1,000 other accounts with your name that are all fan accounts.
It's really frustrating. I'm actually Colette Katie with an I. I used to be Katie Lett. Now I'm Colette Katie with K-A-T-I. So it is frustrating.
Got you.
But Colette, how do you do it? Where's all this? What's going on in your world? How are you finding confidence and self-love these days?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I always felt like I was a confident person. And, you know, back like 4 or 5 years ago, I just found myself in a different place where I was like, yeah, I'm not enough. I'm not happy. I'm not feeling like, I just felt overwhelmed with life and, you know, everything that was going on. I'm not going to go there, but I just felt like I couldn't live with myself. Like, it was just too hard. And I thought, okay, I thought I was a confident person, right? I thought that I loved myself and all these things. And as I started to dive deeper, I realized like, I'm not that person that I thought I was. And it actually kind of began was I started to get suicidal.
What?
And I did. And I decided, you know what, this is not me. And I don't want to go there. I don't want to be that person that does that. And so I got a therapist. I called a therapist and I love her. I've actually been meeting with her for since then. But I think what it was I decided like, I don't feel good. I want to feel better. What am I going to do about it? And I did. I dove into everything. Like, I'm a firm believer in like the universe is helping me if I want it to. And so I just, you know, I asked for help and I said, guide me to what I need. And I was guided to different books, podcasts, people, and I started reading and meditating. I got into meditation. I think one of the first authors that I read among so many was Gabby Bernstein. She's like a spiritual person that came out of a dark place. But I started following her and sticking to my faith, even though it was hard. I don't know, I just started caring about myself. And that was the bottom line, was I used to have this mentality that when you're a mom and when you have a family that you love, you sacrifice. You do what it takes to be able to take care of them and help them. But what I didn't realize is that I can't sacrifice everything. Like, I have to fill my tank or I'm not going to be able to give them what they need. It was like I was just this ghost walking around and doing dinner and doing this and that. And then it was like, that wasn't me. It's not what I wanted. It wasn't anybody else's fault but mine, because I had sort of just abandoned that part of me. And so I started getting back into the things that I loved. Like, what, I asked myself the question, like, what makes me light up? What is it? And like, go deeper and answer the question and go deeper and go deeper. And I found out, like, I love singing and music and the guitar. And it's like, for so long, it was like, I want to play my guitar, but I don't have time. I've got this and I've got that. And I was like, no, Colette, you have to take care of yourself and you have to do things you love. And I think a lot of the excuses for not taking care of yourself is like, I'm not good enough. You know, okay, if I pick up the guitar, I'm not going to be like Taylor Swift. So why bother? And that perfectionism was always in my head. Like, I'm just not going to get to where I really want to be. So I'm just going to stay over here. And what I realized was it's not getting somewhere. It's the journey. It's the experience. It's the joy of it. And I started to have a different mindset of not achieving, but being. And it totally shifted everything. And yeah, over time, I feel much better. I'm happier than I ever have been.
I think you said so many good things. And I think you pointed out something that's really important for anybody listening, is that you made a conscious decision and you put in a lot of work to be mm-hmm. happy. I think, like, I know for me, I am naturally a happy person, but it's still, there are periods of time in my life where I have to work hard for my happiness. I have to do things that make me feel like a good version of myself, one that I'm proud of. When I go to bed at night, do I say, okay, I got this. I can handle whatever's coming my way. But a lot of times in my life, it takes work to be happy.
Yes.
And it's hard to acknowledge that, right? Sometimes I think people are either like, well, I'm either a pessimist or an optimist, or I'm either like a negative person or a happy person. And I don't think people realize, like, a lot of happy people work very, very hard on their happiness. And it sounds like a weird thing to say, like, I'm working on being happy, but I think there's a lot of truth to that. And I think you just said, like, you've worked for years on building a foundation to create happiness and find joy. And I think so many moms, I mean, we have this Facebook group. Three of us have all been on the internet for a long time. We've seen moms talk about how they've lost themselves when they've become a mom. You know, they don't know who they are anymore because they've got this new role of mom. But what about all the other stuff that happened before they became a mom? Where does that go? How does that fit in those first few years of motherhood? You're just surviving. I mean, it's so hard to add in extracurricular activities and reading and exercise when you feel like you can't even fucking breathe sometimes mm-hmm. because the new mom life is so hard. And then you add back-to-back kids on that. And then you wake up and you're like, well, what have I done for the last 10 years or something? And I think so many moms lose themselves. So I think it's just a really good discussion to talk about, how do you implement things in your daily life that give you little bits of gratitude that can lead up to just being a happy person, you know? Right. So what kind of daily things would you say you do? Like, I know you're a runner. We were talking about this. When did you start running, and how has that played a role in your happiness and confidence, I guess?
I've always really enjoyed exercise. Like, I started doing it when I was in high school, and it was more for like, oh, I want to look good, so I'm going to exercise. But, you know, it became this makes me feel great. So I honestly have always liked running and liked the idea of running, but I wasn't always a good runner. And so, I don't know, I just started small, just started with, you know what, I'm going to go on a run, but I'm not going to focus on achieving or getting to a certain level or speed. I'm just going to focus on one thing, like, let's go a mile. I don't care how long it takes me. I might have to walk it, but I'm just going to go. And I might just started back up maybe 4 years ago, back up running. But I've also done other things. Like, I just realized how much I miss dancing. So I've started doing Zumba classes because I get that workout, but I also get dancing in. But it's all those little things, I think, that I've decided to do over time. It's like spending a little bit of time for yourself. And honestly, the biggest difference for me has been meditation. Like, I decided I have to spend, whatever, 30 minutes in the morning to meditate, read, and like give myself a power boost, or I am not going to be able to function. And at the time when I started, it was really difficult because I did have to wake up super early. Like, it was a 5:30 a.m. thing. But at the time when I did it, it was like I had to do it because it was like my air. Like, if I don't do this, I am not going to survive. And so I made it a priority. I made it what I had to do for me. And it was like breathing in this huge breath of beautiful oxygen every single morning. And it has been ever since. And so I don't skip a day. Even if I only have 10 minutes, I do not skip a day of doing my meditation time.
If anybody's intimidated by meditation, was there an app that you used, or how'd you get into it? How'd you find your groove with meditation?
I started with Gabby Bernstein. She has a book called, oh my goodness, I'm going to forget.
Spirit Junkie, is it that one?
That's one of them. The one that I read that helped me begin meditating was, I think, 40 Days like to a Miracle Mindset. I read it so many times too. I'm like, why can't I think of the book?
Okay, somebody Google it.
Yeah, maybe I'll have to. But I started doing that book, and it is basically like a daily thing, and it takes you through 40 days. I think it was 40 days. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay.
That was the first book that I was like, okay, I'm going to learn how, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do what she says. And I downloaded her meditations, and it just helped so much, like more than I thought it ever would, because I was finally getting still with myself. And one thing I wanted to mention, when you were talking about happiness and choosing happiness, like from the beginning, Shay's like, choose happiness. Like, that is what we want to do. And it's interesting because through all of this, it's almost like the universe was handing me a platter and saying, here, I'm going to show you how to truly choose happiness. And it's like, I have learned that I'm not just choosing happiness in the moment. Sometimes you have to go through some really dark crap. And like, you have to consciously choose to go there in order to be able to choose happiness. And that, like, meditation, that Gabby Bernstein book helped me start that, helped me start getting deeper and diving deeper into like, why am I feeling this way? What are my triggers? What are my traumas? What's going on? And it was hard and it was scary. And now I can breathe. Sorry, I get really talky. I'm talking a lot.
No, it's okay. Fun fact, Gabby and I used to be buddies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was at the brunch where it all started for that first book.
That's amazing.
I'm always like, it's amazing to see where Gabby's gone with it.
Right? Yeah. I mean, just hearing her story, I was like, dang, girl. Yeah, it's crazy. And I feel like I'm changing. I'm like a different person, but I'm still me. It's almost just like, I'm me, but I'm like, me without all that other crap.
I'm so happy for you. So proud of you, Colette. And I always look up to you.
I look up to you too. I miss you. I miss you. And I'm so glad to meet you, Susan.
I'm so glad to meet you. So Shahrzad, I really love this true crime podcast called Killer Queens. And apparently there is a new one that I'm so excited about called Oh Snapped that recaps the Oxygen series Snapped.
So if you guys are true crime fans and you've been loving Snapped and you're just a true crime lover, you're going to love Oh Snapped. You guys can join sisters Tyrella Slump and Tori Toby as they go back in time and relive the series from the beginning. They're going to talk about sassy narrators, terrible reenactments, and bask in the glory of the one murder show that no other can live up to. So many people are into true crime and murder shows, you know?
Oh my God, I love it. I love it. Yeah. Sometimes it scares me as a mom how much I love the true crime stuff, so I take little breaks here and there, but I love true crime.
Oh Snapped is a safe place without judgment to talk about your favorite Snapped episodes with people who totally get your love for murdery stuff. Listeners say that listening to Tori and Tyrella discuss cases feels like talking about your favorite shows or cases with your bestie over a cup of coffee or cocktails. They have the ability to make the sometimes super dark topics feel a little bit lighter while staying respectful of the victims and their families. Be sure to search for and subscribe to Oh Snapped in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever your favorite podcast app is.
for me, I started running more during quarantine because I felt like the first month I was just kind of miserable and like felt sorry for myself, which is stupid and doesn't help anybody, but that's where I was at. I had to just move my body a little bit and the weather was getting nicer and I wanted to, you know, I want to show my kids that I want to work. I want them to know that mommy works out and mommy takes care of herself and that exercise is really important. I grew up with exercise being really important. I used to jog with my parents or my dad and dance with my mom. And so I want that for my kids as well. And so I started like, you know, just going on walks and then going on runs. And and I'm not that good of a runner like I was in high school or anything like that, but I'm like barely hanging on and I'm beet red, but it's been so therapeutic. And then I feel like no matter what I do for the rest of the day, if I had a day where I worked out, I have a better day. Even if it's just like a shitty workout, if I got out of the house, got fresh air, moved my body, I have a much better chance of eating healthier that day. And so I'm trying really hard to like not get mad at myself if I don't work out, but definitely like just get to that point where I'm just not even thinking about it and just putting my shoes on and going outside. And just like, cause I know once I'm outside, I will push myself. So I think it's hard. I go back and forth. I'm like, sometimes I feel motivated in my life and other times I just feel like, ugh. But I'm really happy that you said that you don't put like a number or a specific goal necessarily on it and that you're just doing it and you're just doing it to, you know, to feel it and move and not beat yourself up if you're not running 3 miles in under 30 minutes or whatever people do. So I think that's really good. What else are you a gratitude journal kind of girl or?
I am. And just by what you were saying with all the running stuff, like I used to be that way where it was like, if I can't do it like awesomely, then like, I don't want to do it. Like if I can't go out there and be the best, like I don't want to do it. And I don't think that was, I don't know. I don't think it was a conscious choice, but we put that perfectionism on ourselves so often, especially as women, that like I made it a conscious effort to look at the cup half full instead of half empty every time. Like, you know what? I got up and I moved and then I got in a fight with one of the kids and then it didn't work and dang it. But you know what? I got up and moved. So that's okay. Instead of I didn't get my workout in, my whole day shot. This is like the end. Like I used to have that kind of attitude and I just decided to consciously choose, you know what? I need to look at the good. Because if I focus on the good, it will grow. If I focus on the bad, it will grow. And so shifting your focus is a big thing. And yes, I have a gratitude journal that I write in most every night. I'm not 100%, but I do my best because I do recognize that it changes everything when you shift your focus. Everything is about focus and intention and about where your energy is going. And I've had plenty of times where I put it towards all the shit and I don't want to be there. And so I got to choose something different.
I remember when I had Idris and we were shooting the Mom's View and I had gained about 60 pounds and I had this new body that I was not into after I had him because babies only weigh about like, I don't know, 6 to 10 pounds, maybe a little more if they're on the bigger side. Idris weighed just under 9. And then all of a sudden I had like 50 pounds to lose. And I was like, damn it, I've struggled losing 10 pounds at different points in my life. How the hell am I going to do 50? And I remember, Colette, you said you got to look at your body with love. You have to look at your body with love. And I would look in the mirror, and of course I'd want to just rip myself apart like, you fat fucking bitch. Like, why did you have to eat all that shit while you were pregnant? Now, like, you know, I have this like negative self-talk as I was looking at, and I wasn't really ever like that crazy hard on myself. And all of a sudden I found myself being really dark and mad at myself because I wasn't as thin as somebody else after having a baby. And I just remember, Colette, you had this like mantra even then that, or at least it became my mantra and you had said it because you had 5 kids. And you're like, you have to look at your body with love. You have to look at your body with love. And I started to try and shift it a little bit at a time, day by day. Like, okay, you ate healthy today. 50 pounds aren't going to come off overnight. Took 9 months to put the weight on. So you have to just calm down. You have to have a little fucking patience, which I don't have very much of, and look at your body with love. And I don't know if I've ever thanked you for giving me that mantra. And I don't even know if you gave me that mantra, but you did. So thank you. But yeah, it's so hard to like, I think, you know, in life, we just go through so many seasons where you just kind of fall in and out of love with yourself. I was just really sick of myself last month. I was like, shut up, stop fucking complaining about being quarantined when the whole world is quarantined and I at least have a roof over my head.
No, I totally know the feeling. And one of the things that I've realized is like, it doesn't just go away. It doesn't, like that feeling of, dang it, I suck. You know, it just doesn't go away. You just have to consciously remember like, okay, if I were my best friend, would I tell myself that? Would I tell my best friend that? Then don't say it to yourself.
Right.
And what I've realized over time too is that self-compassion goes a really long way. Like if you have compassion for your babies, like why can't you have compassion for yourself? Like look at yourself in the mirror and say, like, look at my body. It's working. Like maybe some parts aren't, but that's okay because it's been through a lot. And just trying to have that self-compassion.
I'm trying to be, and Susan and I had a few months ago, we had some of our friends on the podcast talking about being really mindful of how we talk about ourselves in front of our kids. Mm-hmm. And one of the girls brought up, she was like, you know, she said, I said something along the lines of, I'll call myself an idiot from time to time. If I made a mistake or if something didn't turn out the way I wanted it to, I'll be like, oh, I'm such an idiot. And I've said that in front of my kids. And then when Idris one day called himself an idiot, and I got just so sad because I thought, couldn't be further from an idiot. You are a pure, sweet little boy. And I realized he was, you know, just mimicking me. And I've tried to be so mindful of what I say about myself out loud, especially in front of my kids. But you know, it is a lifelong journey.
It is
so much work.
They're everything. Like, wait, no.
Yeah. Susan, what's going on in your world? How are you loving yourself these days?
You guys, I kind of really like myself a lot, so that's why I'm staying quiet. I'm just sitting here being like, well, no, you know, I've been doing a lot. I've had a lot of projects happening. And, you know, that first month, obviously, of quarantine, I was very down and very, like, self-pitying and stuff. And I had to get myself out of it. And, I learned a while back when I was younger to give myself, you know, some grace, you know, and be a little bit more loving and caring of myself. And I think it's really helped me get through a lot of stuff and get me where I am. You know, when all the self-quarantine, when all the like coronavirus stuff started happening, I started being like, oh my God, everything I've ever worked for. And I just had a baby and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And I think once I took a step back and started to think I was, you know, like you have to really, I think gratitude obviously is a really big deal and helps you get through everything. It's the thing that makes you realize that you can be happy is when you actually can be grateful. So once I took a step back and I was like, okay, it's okay to be upset about all of this stuff, because I think we go back and forth with this of like, we should be grateful because, you know, we've got more than other people and stuff, but it's always relative, right? So I think sometimes I just need to take a step back, absorb what's happening, acknowledge that this sucks for me personally. It might be not as bad for somebody, you know, other people might have things that are worse, but for me right now, this is what's bad and what's bothering me. I get over it. I figure out how I'm going to make this a better situation. And then that really helps me get through things. And so I'm in a really good place right this minute. You might ask me tomorrow and I might be different, but today and right now I'm in a really good place.
That's awesome. It's like you gave yourself that attention. Like, you know what, maybe it sucks for somebody else worse, but like this sucks for me right now. I think so often we like just negate our own suffering and just like, oh yeah, somebody else's suffering is more, so I shouldn't feel this way. That is one word that like is a four-letter word to me now. It's like, I should do this or I shouldn't do that. It's like, no, I could do, like, I have choices. I can do this or I can do that. But there's no more shoulds in my life. I always say, like, stop shoulding on yourself.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, now I've got a mantra. Stop shoulding on yourself. I love that.
This was such a fun convo, and I just love you to bits, Colette. Anything fun in your future that you're working on that you want to share?
I have so much I'm working on. I have like notebooks full of, stuff.
Good.
I will be starting posting on YouTube again soon. I've been working on some music. So far just covers, but I'm going to be writing my own things.
Yay!
Because I'm playing my guitar every day like I promised myself I would.
Yay!
And I love it. Like I just feel so happy about the future. So excited about the things that I have going on.
Colette, thank you for sharing your beautiful wisdom and words. And I'm such a diehard fan of you. And I understand why you had screaming fans in Chicago that cried when they saw you, because if I saw you, I'd start crying too. I love you so much.
Thank you. I love you too. And I'm so glad to be on here. You ladies are both so inspiring to me. And it's so fun that, like, I don't know, listening to all your stuff, like, you guys are just so real and I love it. And I just hope that you will keep doing it.
I mean, isn't she just a gem?
She's amazing. And she, you know, if anything, I feel a little bit more inspired too to do a little focusing on myself. Cause I really, you know what? You lose yourself as a mom, and it's hard not to, because you're so caught up in doing all the things that you're supposed to and trying to be a perfect mom. Even if you're not even trying to be a perfect mom, it's like there's something in you that makes you feel like you have to do more.
Yeah, I think she has a lot of really good stuff to say and offer. And I really love the message that she's been putting on the internet lately. So I feel grateful that we had a chance to chat with her. And, you know, she is the last piece of the TMV reunion puzzle. And I feel really lucky that I got to, you know, chat with all these ladies that I haven't really had long conversations with. And so, you know, other than like Instagram DMs and stuff, I haven't really, really talked to these women in so long. And I shared such an important time in my life with them. So it felt really good to connect. And, you know, I just don't think I would have thought to reach out to them had we not been quarantined and doing the podcast via Zoom, because I was so focused on having guests come to the studio in LA. So I feel like that was just like a nice little treat. So
yeah.
Thanks. So thank you, quarantine. Take that, fucking quarantine. And life is good.
I'm glad. You know, I love that you guys get to call it TMV, the mom's view. It's cute that it has like a little acronym.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. TMV. That was a big deal. Anyway, that's all for today. Hope you guys are enjoying the podcast. We would love a review and a nice little rating. And that's all. We'll chat with you another time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances, and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.